Hi there. Happy Sunday and happy Halloween, Samhain, All Hallows Eve, whatever it is you practice and celebrate this time of year. Join us and welcome. We're going to have a show about all those things. Like to share some ghost stories. And do you do spells? Do you do rituals? How do you celebrate this turning from the light to the dark part of the year? I'm here with Tony Jorgensen, one of my lovely co-hosts. And Tony, how are you doing? How are you enjoying this change of seasons?
Oh, I am enjoying it a lot. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
The weather is kind of chilly, but it's still sunny, so it looks good outside. Yeah, I like this.
It's a neat time, isn't it? Yeah, it's when the sun.
Yeah.
I think we just had Sue. Wait a minute. 2, 3. Yeah, that's Sue.
Is that Sue?
Exactly.
Hi, guys.
Exactly. Hi. Welcome. We're so glad to have you. Oh, wow.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're always welcome. You know, always love to have you on. If we can get enough people, we'll get 2 shows. We'll split off and grab a couple of shows and rotate our hosts. But, I was just reading up on Samhain. It's spelled S-A-M-H-A-N. It is pronounced Samhain. But I just wanted to give a little bit of history of it. So it was originally a pagan festival, and it was celebrated mainly by the ancient Celts, and it was like when the turning of the season, so it would go from the light into the dark. The winter, the autumn equinox, and the winter solstice are celebrated. But it got taken, Sue's going to love this part, it became more of a Christian, it was sort of co-opted by the Christians, who turned it into All Hallows Eve, an All Saints Day, All Souls Day. And that's fine. You know, whatever floats your boat and whatever, you know, rhythmic tribal rituals you dance to, that's fine. But it became Halloween as the word changed from Hallows Eve to Halloween. And I don't know about you guys, but I love what we do these days. I love when the kids come to the doors and their costumes and they're all excited and they're so creative and, you know, and hey, who doesn't love free candy, right? What are you folks, Sue and Tony, what are your thoughts on Halloween and all these pagan festivals and whatnot? I love the altar with the apples and the pumpkin and sort of honoring nature as she changes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sue. Be my guest.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know what Lynn said about the holiday, so to speak, being co-opted by the Christians. You know, it doesn't surprise me, but I don't have an opinion one way or another, like who celebrates it and how. I just look at it as an opportunity to work the energy, and so you know, for whatever the intention is. I think that's an opportunity, just like other times of the year where, you know, it's said that the veil is much lighter. And so I look at it as an opportunity to, you know, contact and commune with my ancestors and maybe even get some more messages from spirit that, I mean, I feel like I'm connected all the time, so it doesn't really... I don't really need a special day to do it, but on the other hand, energy is energy, in my opinion. So our intention is what sets the energy, I think, and what brings in what we're looking for. And so the way I look at it, I think that it, as with other opportunities, any opportunity that we have, we make the best of what we're intending at the time. And so we could call it good and bad and light and dark and all these. I like what also Lynn said about honoring nature. I'm big with that. That's a biggie for me. And so getting anytime you can get closer to nature, the better. But I just feel the joy of the kids. They put so much, yeah, and the parents, you know, they put so much time and effort into their costumes and just going out and having a good time. And This year I'm going to park myself out front in a lawn chair, and I'm going to play some fun Halloween music. We got a couple of pumpkins, mm-hmm. and just enjoy watching the kids walk by. So, yeah. Yeah, as far as rituals go, I think it's a fun one. And, you know, I don't think we need to put a label on good and bad with things. It's what we make of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. I just talking about the costume, the tradition of the costumes, mm-hmm. the original, like the Celts and the Druids and the ones that originally carried out these festivals, they put on the costumes and masks to disguise themselves from any harmful spirits that might be around. Because yeah. you're right, the veil, and it does, you can feel it. The veil is very thin this time of year. And it's mm-hmm. traditionally been felt that, you know, so Samhain celebrates the dead with a festival. And they usually they have a bonfire, and that's when they're communing with the dead, the ancestors. It's not that different from the Mexican festival of
right.
the Day of the Dead, right?
The Day of the Dead, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts, Tony?
Well, I'm a chicken, so anything to do with scary Halloween movies, I can't take it. So most of my life, when I went to Halloween movies with my friends or whatever, I would sit on the floor of the movie theater while everybody else would be sitting. I can't take them at all. And but yet I love the Day of the Dead and the veil and the spirits and all of that. I just can't take horror flicks. But as far as decorating, I go I try to go all out. I don't do anything spooky, but I do put up weird signs and, you know, the Day of the Dead skeletons and I hope that kids will come by. Our neighborhood is all grown, so it's rare. We're starting to get the little kids of the kids that used to live here. So that's fun. But my grandson is only 5, so he's really into Halloween. He's an astronaut now. Yeah, and then Monday is going to be a police officer. So he's like because it's on Monday, I feel the kids have all weekend that they're celebrating Halloween. So it's really kind of fun.
Absolutely. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing like that raw enthusiasm of the children. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And they don't care what you want to call it. It's just, this is good time, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to mention something about what Tony said on the movies, the scary movies. See, you know, there again, we're talking about energy. And, you know, it's when I was younger, I used to like a horror flick every now and again. But, you know, then I started getting older and I started really having like lurid dreams, not lurid, but just horrible dreams. And,
yeah.
Like taking the essence of the movie, and it was like applying, my subconscious was applying it to my family. So I needed to, you know, stay all the way away from that. And again, those scary energies, from a therapeutic point of view, our brains don't necessarily differentiate between what's a show and what's real. And so, you know, if we're constantly terrifying ourselves, we could go into like adrenal stress and things like that because the mind starts believing that it's truly in danger. And so, you know, I'm not saying, you know, don't ever watch a scary movie. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm suggesting is that if we're not careful with our energy fields, we could put ourselves in a state of, you know, upset and stress without even really realizing it, you know, especially if they go overboard. I mean, I just don't even watch them at all because they, you know, I don't like being terrified that way. And of course, I sometimes wonder if we're not like calling, you know, darker energies to us when we're constantly engaging in that. I don't know. I just wonder.
It's a very good point because this is the way I feel exactly like what you're saying and Lynn is that we, you know, we've tapped into an energy that we're already talking to spirits and stuff that could be scary on its own. And then to watch a movie with these ugly creatures, because I don't feel that the spirits that we've tapped into are look like the ones on TV. You know, it's completely different. It's the opposite. They're more beautiful. And then these are disgusting. That it just, yeah, it scares me. Like you said, I feel my heart racing on some of these. You know, I'm just not, I can't tell the difference. You're right. Sometimes I can't tell the difference. And that's what scares me. So
what's the whole intention, isn't it?
I'd rather just stay away from them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because what defining a horror, well, horror movies are horrible in that it's a human with a knife going whack, whack, whack. And that's got nothing to do with the spirit. The spirits,
yeah,
you know, it's
exactly,
you know, they don't come from a place of fear. They come from love.
No.
And they come through to help us going through these crazy earthly journeys. We're not, there's nothing to be afraid of there. So that's, I think humans have kind of screwed up that genre.
It's kind of like to me, like in my opinion is this, like it's kind of like the schoolyard, right? You can choose whether you want to be part of the pack with the bullies and bring about fear to find power in your life, or you could, you know, choose a different crowd where, you know, people are bolstering each other and, you know, you're highlighting each other's strengths.
I love that.
It almost feels like that to me. You pick. We're always picking and choosing in life, but the power always lies within us. It's not outside of us. It's only what we let in, I think.
Yeah.
That's making
that's
a big
really
difference,
wise.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to keep your hands on the steering wheel, so to speak, and, you know, you're the driver. You don't let others take over. I think we have Marianne. Is that Marianne's number?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Marianne.
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome. We're so glad to have you.
Hi.
Happy Halloween or happy Samhain or happy whatever
Halloween
you want to. Yeah, Halloween Eve. Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Did you want to share any thoughts on the subject? I don't know if you heard our earlier discussion there.
A little bit. You're just talking about spirits.
Well, we were sort of talking about the sort of the man-made scary stuff versus the actual connection with spirit, which is a loving connection, as opposed to like tear the pants off you.
I can't do horror movies.
No.
I can't do the horror movies. Being an empath, I'm just way too sensitive. I just can't do it.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few I've had to turn off to. But, you know, do you ever remember the movie Ghost? I know it was dorky and horky. And, you know.
No,
I
love it. Scary to me.
I love that movie.
Yeah, the love we feel, that's what we take with us, the love we share. That's what goes with us. And, you know, and it's not a horror movie, but there's a ghost in it. You know what I mean? And
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of ghosts, does anybody have a ghost story that they'd like to share?
Yes, I do. My dad haunted my Alexa.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Do tell.
Yeah. It was so wild. So I have a new grandbaby, and so about 2 weeks ago, I was. She's just the teeniest, cutest little itty bittiest little thing. She finally hit 8 pounds, I think. She's 3 months. She's tiny, just itty bitty. And I had just gotten her to sleep. And so I was just kind of holding her and snuggling, just watching. You know, the babies are just so beautiful. Just, you know, their spirits are huge. And I was sending pictures to my daughter, Lisa. Look at this beautiful, look what I get to do. Look what I get. And I was just doing that. And then suddenly I was texting Lisa and holding this beautiful baby. It was like 7 o'clock something at night, and it's dark now. And my Alexa in my bathroom, because I like to listen to music or whatever and play the weather when I'm getting ready for work in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it was dark and my Alexa went off. The only light that was on was the little night light that I have on the side of my bed where I was just kind of laying by the little baby, and my Alexa went on and started playing my dad's favorite singer, Ricky Nelson.
Oh.
And I was like, I have never played Ricky Nelson. I grew up listening to Ricky Nelson. My dad and I would dance to Ricky Nelson. I'd stand on his shoes and we'd dance. And Ricky Nelson started playing, and I was texting Lisa, and I said, Lisa, the freakiest thing just happened. My Alexa just went off and is playing Ricky Nelson. And so then I put the baby down and then went into my bathroom, and I have a chair in there where I sit on it and do my makeup and my hair and whatever, and I sat on my chair, and the Alexa was completely dark. When it plays, or when it lights up, or it'll show you the song that's playing, whatever, all I could see was the time on it, and it was completely dark. It's like it wasn't even on. But, yeah, I was hearing music, so I recorded it.
Wow.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, and it was so cool. Yeah, and it was singing I'm a Traveling Man, made a lot of stuff, and then it was singing to the next one. And so I heard three different – they were like little bits of songs. I don't know what. And as soon as I recorded it and sat there, and I was like, okay, Dad, if that's you, thank you. And then it stopped. It was good. It was pretty cool.
Music was really, 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 after that.
It was good. But I recorded it on my phone and sent it to Lisa, and I said, listen to this. This is what it's playing.
Wow. He knew that you would identify him through that. That's a really cool way to
have.
A favorite song often is a way that spirit will connect. That's beautiful, Marianne. I'm so glad, because you were wondering, where's my dad?
Yeah.
And then he said, son, I'm here. Yeah.
I did, I think I did say that to you on our last session.
Well, it's a normal human. Yeah, it's a normal human question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, where did you go?
Yeah.
You know, let me know you're okay. I've got one. If anybody would like to share, I'll share one. My mother, who was always making us stop talking about metaphysical and spiritual stuff. No, you can't talk about that. She was the most psychic and spiritually connected person I ever met, but she just wanted, society kind of, they do a number on your head and tell you, no, that's not, you can't have that. But she was doing poll work for one of the local elections, and I guess a week or so before, she'd gone for a walk with her dog Walden, and where she lived was just vast, countryside, so you could walk for miles and miles. And she met this guy and his dog while they were out walking, and she noticed he was unique in his appearance. He had one of those long frock coats like the Australian sheep herders wear, and the hat was like the Sherlock Holmes hat. I can't remember what they're called. Deerstalker, is that the name of them?
Yeah.
Anyway, he was dressed like that, and his dog was with him, and as dogs do, he's a wag, 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 wag. So he said, walk with you. What, can we walk with you? And so they did. They walked her, right through. And then they stopped at a marsh. He said, well, I go away, so I'll be leaving you now, but it was lovely to walk with you. And he and his dog went walking off into the marsh, and my mother carried on. And I guess I'm forgetting the part where he described his dad. So my dad's one of your neighbors, and blah, 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 and just told about the dad. So a week later, mom is doing her poll work, going around and getting everyone's electoral information, and she meets the dad, and she says, oh, I met your son the other day. I'm sorry, I've got it wrong. She said, I met your dad the other day. It was the son, sorry. My brain's not good anymore. I have to trade it in. So she said, I met your dad the other day. He was out walking his dog. Yeah, you got it. The guy just drained of color, and he said, my dad gosh. And his dog have been dead for 9 years. But for her, it's like, oh, okay. But that's, my whole family's got that. My grandfather used to see a half a guy going back and forth in England, in this old old house in the basement would have been the servants' quarters. Now that was determined to be what they call an energy implant, because the guy just kept, wow. it wasn't an intelligent thing. It's more like whatever elements in the earth can sort of record these things. So the guy would go back and forth, but he was only a half a guy. And so they looked into the history of the place and found out that the basement had been about 3 or 4 feet lower at another time. So it was an energy implant of a guy on the original basement floor. But man,
you mean imprint, right? Not implant, but imprint, maybe?
Imprint?
Energy imprint?
I've heard it described as an implant or an imprint. I think both terms are correct. But,
okay, cool.
You're right. It's like a tape recording almost, or like a video recording of something that went over. But I looked that up. That's interesting. But it doesn't matter.
So
you know,
is that like the entrails of this guy's energy, or is his consciousness there, or what's the deal with an imprint?
I'm not sure because I don't think an energy. I'm just looking this up here. Oops. Of course, I can't type on him. Energy implant. Yeah. I guess I am using the wrong term because it's implantable fuel cell built at an MIT. Yeah.
I think it's imprint. Imprint.
Imprint.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's see what that goes. It didn't seem to be an intelligent manifestation because he tried to talk to the guy and the dude just ignored him and just went back and forth. He had a towel over his arm. Like a servant would have, you know? Okay,
yeah,
imprint
that's
energy.
Interesting. So it's kind of interesting about like how the veil can be light like that, or somebody has the gift of seeing different timelines, because it doesn't sound like the consciousness of that servant was there, but that the fact that your family member could see them, so that's kind of like interdimensional vision of some kind, being able to see the energy of what we consider what was, but really it's still ongoing.
Absolutely. And I don't know how anyone could claim boredom while being alive on this earth, because there's so many mysteries that, you know, and there's so much magic. Just how can you could spend the rest of your life going, wow, and never get through all of this. But I'm going to look that up, Sue, and just sort of, because I know, I remember my dad said that's what it was. But, I think
how
I realize
cool.
I don't really,
But I've read a bunch of stories like that where in different places, like an old jail cell, which was converted to a restaurant, like the part that was the basement was the jail. And how, you know, there were people could, not everybody, but some people could see somebody, like a guard walking up and down the corridor. And, you know, of course, the uniform and the weapon was something from days gone by. But like you said, no consciousness there, just that you can't interact with it. It's just somebody that's doing their duty on that day, to speak. And I think those stories are really cool. I think they're called energy imprints. And it's almost like, you know, how if you go to a certain place in the world and you can feel the energy of it and it's really, you know, positive, or maybe it's not so positive because there was a battle scene there or something, or many wars fought in certain areas. You can feel that energy too. I think those are imprints as well.
Yeah, Gettysburg is crazy for that. It's one of the most well-known.
It is crazy. I was there not too long ago.
Really?
For sure.
What happened for you? Did you connect?
We were driving by. This was about probably 7 years ago, I think, was the last time I was there. And a friend of mine was just taking me through the rolling hills where, you know, where it was happening, you know, and I could totally feel both sides there, you know, or what was going on, the fight. And I don't know, it was just, you could see them, like, and you know what the weird thing about it is, they were so much smaller than we are now, because the houses are smaller, and just you could see the ravines or where people would hide are smaller. You know, now we could walk right up on it, and we're so much taller than they are. Right?
Yeah,
I saw, I could totally feel that energy of them.
Wow.
I mean, I sat there for a couple of hours just in awe of what, just the energy. I don't, you know, remember what I saw or anything, but just feeling it. I could feel what was going on there and what had happened, you know.
Wow. Yeah. And it can be overwhelming, for sure.
Yeah. It was overwhelming in some spots, but... And then there were some homes, like, I can't remember. It was all through Pennsylvania and, you know, through that area, Philadelphia, parts of Philadelphia, and just goes through the rolling hills. And the homes, and you could just totally feel the people that lived in the homes, you know. Isn't Washington House there or something around there, too?
I
can't remember.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But you could see him. I don't know. I love stuff like that. That's why I like history.
Yeah.
Like, I love to go feel that energy.
Does anybody know what the status is of Arizona? It used to be like Sedona and around there used to be very big energy portals where you could go and like get rejuvenated. And I haven't heard anything about Arizona in a while. Just curious if anybody else like heard from a friend or
it's been overwhelmed by politics. Those are the real horror stories.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
I feel New Mexico is where I've heard lately.
Yes.
In New Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because New Mexico is also where I believe, isn't that where Area 51 is?
Nevada. That's
Nevada.
I think
it's all down in that area, though, where it seems to have a lot of energy. We
got
to get Linda back on the show. She can explain this stuff a lot better than I can. I just really want to quickly share one more ghost story, if you guys don't mind. It was my very first actual ghostly encounter. I'm in Canada, and we were in a town called Kingston, Ontario. We were cleaning out a store. We were going to open a photography store, and I was kind of helping the two lads that were running it clean out their upstairs. So I was upstairs by myself cleaning out all these old papers, and I can almost just smell the smell of the old ledgers and the musty, you know, and it was just quite old and interesting. I wasn't scared up there. And then I felt somebody behind me. And then I'm like, my hair stood up on end. And I went, okay, who's there? And I heard a voice go, Teresa. And I was not like the brave and gallant Ghostbuster I am today. I was like in my 20s. I was terrified. And I went whoop, whoop, whoop out of there. I went booting down the stairs across the store to where the two guys, Ted and Adrian, were standing. And I said, what did you, I thought they were playing tricks on me. So anyway, we brought some more experienced people back, and we did use a Ouija board to connect with her. And we said, you know, why are you here? What do you want? What's going on? And she said, I need the book, the Missali Romanum. Now, this is where her religion, her religious beliefs carried over into death with her, and she was terrified to cross over because she hadn't been given the Catholic rite of you know, the ritual, the death ritual. And we said, well, where can we get that? Now, one of the people in the session was a bookstore owner. So he said, well, where can we get that? And she goes, go to the island. Now, it's Wolf Island. You take a ferry across. So this guy, Steve Heinemann, went over to the island and he went booting around. He found this funny little old bookstore owned by a woman named Renee Marshall. And he introduced himself, and he said, would you have a copy of this? And she sent him down into the back, and there in the back room was the Missali Romanum, which he brought back. He didn't do it himself. We found, like, a priest who didn't laugh his head off at us and had him do the ritual. But this poor woman had been murdered. She was pregnant by a married lover, and he just thought, well, you know, we can't have this. And, you know, so he offed her.
Oh, wow.
And she had been buried in the basement of the store. It was quite gruesome and horrible. But I feel like we were able to help her. because I was too afraid, and it was like, I'm sure it's a cultural thing that had been implanted in me to go, you know, because I wasn't like a ghost connector or anything at the time. It scared the crap out of me, but the energy I remember feeling was a deep, horrifying sense of sadness, like just like the deepest sad despair, and it just, it was heartbreaking. But anyway, it's turned into an amusement park attraction. They call it the Haunted Walk of Kingston, and she's one of the attractions. Wow. But I know she's crossed. She's not haunting anymore.
There anymore.
But, you know, yeah, it sure taught me about respect, you know, respect and understanding of spirits and on the other side. But, wow.
Wow. Yeah. That story got me. I got one for you if you're ready for if you want one more.
Yes, please.
You guys up for one more?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. So when I was in my 20s, my mentor, who was very psychic, very tapped in, tuned in, his brother actually brought me to this house in a place called Owego, New York, about 20 minutes away from where we live, and they were doing a seance, it was more of a meditation prayer thing. And anyway, I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. So I go, and we start doing a walk around the house, and it was an old Underground Railroad house from back in the day. They showed us the passages and everything. It was tiny and frightening to think of people. Anyway, so we go upstairs, me and my mentor's brother, Tommy, and I walked into this room, and I had a sheer absolute panic attack, but I felt like pain in my heart. It was like somebody was squeezing it, and I just go busting out of the room, and Tommy follows me, and he says, are you okay? And I said, wow. I said, I don't know what went on in that room, but I said, something really got me in the heart, and you know, it scared me. I mean, I just felt terror, absolute terror. And he said, yeah, let's go downstairs and go out and get a breath of air. And we did. And that particular room, there was a boy that, you know, had stayed there. And he was beaten. You know, he was treated well by his family. And I don't know, something about his energy or the imprint of it was there still. And it just got my heart. I mean, I felt all of this fear that this kid must have felt. And he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't think that would happen to you. And then I didn't think that would happen to me either, but you better warn me next time. So this was well before, this was well before I stepped into, you know, my own abilities. But I've always been an empath, so that doesn't really surprise me now. But just the intensity of it. And, you know, so I think whenever anybody goes, you know, buys a new house or whatever, you know, if you get a weird EBGBs in certain rooms, you've got to do like some prayer and clearing for the, you know, energy that's there. Because, and I heard an interesting thing, I don't know if your audience will like this or not, but if there's a room in your house that's funky like that, if you make love in the room, the energy of the love just clears it out.
Wow, that's awesome.
Who knew? Well, that's a fun way to clear a room.
That's
that for Valentine's.
There you go.
Valentine's story.
It's either from being gross or being loving, it could clear a room.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
really, yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I come to think of a ghost story. I forgot that I just had one. I've actually had two. So one was, I went and did a party in California a couple of weeks ago. That was at a house that was a school that was owned by two ladies. They were twins. And it was the coolest house, and Groucho Marx had brought it over. It was right next to his studio on Hollywood Boulevard. And he had bought the house from the twins, and it just sat there for a while. But then this gentleman bought Groucho Marx studio and the house, and they turned that into a bar, and the other place has several restaurants in it. But when I went upstairs, the guy that was running the place, he also was kind of creepy looking, but he was an actor, so I think he dressed like that on purpose, but he fit right in the house. I mean, he was really cool, and he told me that I could keep my stuff upstairs, and so I think he sent me up there for a reason, because I was telling him about our show and everything. And so when I went up there, I even have the picture. I think I sent it to Lynn. There
yeah.
was this one area where this couch was, and there was no light. It was dark. So the first picture I took of the couch was dark. And then 2 minutes later, I stepped back and turned around and took another picture, and it was all lit up, like beautiful red velvet couch that
That's
did not
right.
look like that 5 minutes ago. And there was no light. I mean, it was the same time, you know, when I took the first picture. And then
yes.
I told him what happened, and he proceeded to tell me that, you know, they are good witches. They're up there. They're good people, but they're ghosts that live there, and it's the sisters that still live there in that house. It was really cool that you just said.
Yeah, we talked about the physical difference between emanated light and reflected light. So when you take
yeah.
a picture of a regular thing, that's light reflected. But a spirit
mm-hmm.
manifestation will produce its own light, is its own light source. Orbs are like that too. It's fabulous. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
what
there
was your
some orbs down in the bar too. When I took a picture, remember I showed you the orbs, the light of the orbs
yes.
that were coming off the ceiling. It was really cool. That was just
yeah.
like a month ago. Yeah.
That's cool, Tony. I'd forgotten about that. Thank you. That's great.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That was awesome.
What was your other one?
The other one happened a couple of days ago, and my friend, she stands in and does marriages, like a justice of the peace. So she was marrying a friend of hers, this guy, to a woman that she didn't know, but they had been together for the last 6 months, and so they were getting married in his house. So there's a couple components to this story. One of them is his mom loved to collect spirit masks, like from, you know, Hindu masks or Indian masks, or anywhere she goes, she tries to bring a mask home. So going up, she sent me a picture. So going up the staircase was all of these different kinds of masks. They were really spooky looking. And then on another chair was a ventriloquist doll.
Ew.
That was just sitting there. I can't stand those dolls. They freak me out. But anyway, that was
yeah.
just sitting on the chair. And then she had married them, and then she spent the night up there. And in the morning, she had two prints, handprints on the inside of her legs, and she was dragged off the bed to the ground. She felt the force dragging her off. And,
wow.
and she took a picture of the two imprints, and she sent them to me, and it was like, it wasn't a human. It was like a skeletal hands, like they weren't, you know, human hands, but they did belong to a human at one point. But you could tell by the fingerprints that they were kind of skeleton type hands. And so she said, "Tony, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, give me a few minutes," because right away I thought it was those masks because they were so freaky to me. And then I thought about it for a while, and then the pictures started coming to me, and it wasn't the masks at all. And I thought maybe it was the ventriloquist doll, but it wasn't the doll either. And so I asked her, I said, "This lady that you married, did she have a son that passed away?" And she said, "Yeah, her son passed away, I think it was like a year and a half ago, and he was 17, so he died in a car accident." And basically what it was is that he was throwing a fit because his mom was getting remarried. So he pulled Cindy, you know, he pulled the inside of her legs and pulled her off the bed. And he was like, I could see him like throwing a tantrum, just like a 17-year-old throwing a tantrum. And so basically she figured it out that that's who it was. It was him. And part of the reason was that he was telling me, because I connected with him, was that she is carrying around his ashes for the last year and a half. And he feels that he's not in a safe place, or he's not home. He can't transition because she keeps taking his ashes from places to place, and they need to go somewhere. to a final resting place for him and what the message was. So that's kind of a weird ghost story. This just happened like last week, but it was really freaky. I saw the whole thing. Yeah. But it was cool.
Amazing.
It ended up, it was amazing. I connected with him and he was cool. And he told me that he was throwing a fit because his mom was getting married and he felt his mom was getting married too soon because she hadn't known this guy long enough.
And earthbound when you can't. Yeah, that must be a very freaky way to be if you can't transition. Oh, boy.
Well, yeah. So immediately I told Cynthia, you know, get that bowl of sugar and put the ventriloquist doll's name in there, put the masks in there and put this kid's name in there so they don't follow her home. So she did and put it in the freezer with the sugar, and then she saged her house. But he didn't follow her home. He just was, he was upset with his mom. You know.
Yeah. Oh, what a helpless feeling. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they help him to cross. Yeah, they can do that.
She promised me she was going to. So I hope she
Good.
Does. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think often grief can hold, you know, loved ones back from crossing. It's, you know, they can't, for whatever reason, can't just go to their next stop, you know, a long way.
Yeah.
But we can help them by saying it's okay to go. I've had to do that with some people that are dying, but they're hanging on for loved ones, and they tend to do that. Whoa. Well, we had Kimberly waiting on the line, and she's left us because they think we've been carrying on our convo too long. But, Kim, come on back. We wanted to have you on the show. But we will, if you guys are okay, I'll carry on. We'll get the callers in here because we don't usually hammer on this long. But it's a special day. And I wanted to also ask Kimberly, if she comes back, why I've got some specifically loopy handwriting going on here. When I wrote her name down as being in the queue, the handwriting is just off the wall here. But we have 914 on the air. Would you like to join the conversation? Can we have your name?
Hi, my name is Christine. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Christine. We can barely hear you. Maybe you might move to a different spot if you're on a cordless or a cell phone.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. We can hear you, but it's really low. Perfect. That's 100% better. Excellent.
Okay.
Well, hi. Did you want to share any Halloween tales, or do we have a question you'd like us to look at?
I don't have any specific Halloween tales. I do love Halloween, and I was enjoying listening to your ghost stories. I don't have any specific ghost stories that I could. I wish I did, but I mean, I did use a Ouija one time.
Yeah? Yeah.
I did use a Ouija board one time, but this was when I was very young, and I was with another person, I think a couple of other people, and something started moving in the room that we were at, so it freaked me out, and I never touched a Ouija ever after that, because I didn't know what I was doing at that time either, so I don't know what kind of spirits were with us.
I think we all go through a stage like that. I absolutely think you're normal. Just if you remember that any of these tools, they're tools, and it's the user that determines the outcome of these tools. I mean, you can have a hammer build a house for someone, or you can, you know, use it to cause harm. And it's not the board itself, it's the users. But, if you can find a group that can do it, you know, conscientiously and respectfully. Mm-hmm. And because I know whenever I use a board, I can feel the difference between a benevolent energy and one that's trying to, you know, cause shenanigans, right? And they do show up, but you just tell them to, you know, off you go kind of thing, you know, that you don't have to let them control. But anyway, Christine, how can we help you today? Did you have a question?
Yes, I was wondering if there's any messages for me. I'm particularly feeling kind of lonely. I guess it's because I had a relationship a long time ago, and that person's birthday is coming around, so I kind of had a dream about that person the other day, And it's not that I want to reunite with him necessarily. It's just that I'm looking for love, and I really want true love, and I'm looking for something long-term, and I have nothing on the horizon, so I'm just wondering if there's any messages about love for me.
Oh, wow, yeah. I have to ask you, Christina, who would be Francis or Francine? You got anyone in that name, of that name?
Not that I can think of in my family.
I don't know. I'm doing automatic writing as we speak to each caller, and I just wrote down Francis, Francine. It's a FRA kind of name came through.
Okay.
It might, if it's masculine, I would say maybe a Frank or anyway,
okay.
I'll leave that with you. Yeah, you don't have to force any kind of meaning for that. It's just what came through for you. But I'll turn to the group and see what everyone's picking up for you, if anyone's ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah,
hi,
go for it,
Tony. Yeah, and so immediately when you were talking about the dream about whoever you were in that relationship with, my pendulum immediately said no, you know, but then you changed your mind and said not necessarily, you know, going back together with that person, but finding love somewhere. And then my pendulum turned around and said yes. And then the card, and it's funny because the card that I picked could be Francis. In a way, it's just an old-fashioned way of saying this name. So I kind of, it might coincide with what Lynn is trying to say. But it says, relax and open up to the source and keep your heart open. So I do think love is coming your way. I feel that you've done a lot of work to open your heart. And you just have to keep, you know, keep it open and wake because it's going to happen for you.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have
a
crystal ball. So I don't know exactly when it would happen, but I think you're on the right road is what I got. So
okay.
Mutual. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll go
this
ahead.
Is Sue.
Oh, Sue, go for it.
Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt somebody?
No, was just trying to keep the radio silence short. It's just me being a radio board operator. No worries. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, hi, Christine. What I'm getting about your dream is that your past boyfriend, there were certainly things about him that you really, really admired and enjoyed in his energy. And so what they're saying to me is that you want to focus on those elements, those aspects of personality, and then as... Because you have a, they're saying you have a type. I'm trying to say this
you have
very,
a type?
Yeah, they're saying that there's a type of guy that you tend to be attracted to, and it's not necessarily looks, it's behaviors.
Mm.
Does that sound right to you? Like, for example, like you might find a guy who is interested in cars and, you know, fast sports and things like that. And then there are other guys who are more intellectual. Like they're saying you have a type. And what they want me to tell you is that take the elements that you most admired about your ex-boyfriend and expand on that. Imagine that it doesn't necessarily fit your type.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? So in other words, they're saying think outside the box a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think we're all, especially in our younger years, we all do tend to go towards a certain type. For me, it was the athletic guys. You know, like I loved guys that were athletes. And unfortunately, you know, the athletes aren't always, you know, they don't also have the intellect and the sense of humor and, you know, I'm not saying all. I don't like to group anybody in a bunch, but you know what I mean? When you have a type, you got to do a little bit of introspection as to what excites you about that type and then expand it, is what they're saying.
Okay. Okay.
Okay? Because when you open up to other types,
that brings your field of possibilities. It expands it.
I totally understand.
Pigeonholing. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Good. That's what I have for you. Good luck with it.
Boom.
Thank you very much.
Wow. I'm going to go to Marianne in a sec, but I just wanted to say, Sue, that's exactly what I got. I wrote, look beyond what you imagine your
cool.
perfect
okay.
connection to be. Yeah, look outside the box, as Sue said, because, yeah, you're limiting the potential to find that perfect someone. And there is someone for everyone. I truly believe that. I think we shut out maybe ones who are really good for us by pursuing that type, as Sue said. But that's really cool. I'm like, whoa, yes. Marianne, did you want to are you doing cards today? Did you pull a card?
Yeah. So the one that I pulled was that, it says give your relationship a chance, which means that you need to a chance of learning from it and using what you've learned from your relationship for your next one to avoid attracting mm-hmm. similarly painful situations in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the same.
Yeah, it is. It's got the same energy to it of, don't just narrow down your choices here. But I also wrote, too, not settling for less. Like, it feels like this earlier person that was in your life wasn't giving back enough. It feels like you give a lot in relationships, Christine, and you've got to receive as well. And it feels like that's selfishness to some, but it's really not. It's a natural balance of things. Like you give and give and give, and you cannot pour from an empty cup, right? So your cup must be filled too. And I want to also turn you to look up Khalil Gibran's poem about marriage, how the two strings of the lute, I can't remember the poem. I should find it. But it's about loving together, but also separately. So two whole people instead of two half people, you know, it's like we love each other so much that we've blended into each other and and that's not the way true love is going to work. You've got to have two whole people, two solid people. And there's got to be space for you to be who you are as well. So I don't know, did you feel a little diminished or a little invisible in that previous relationship?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you get a fresh start. You get a reset on that one, and you can watch out. You know, and you'll see the red flags. You know, when you'll feel that energy, like you're giving more than you're receiving. Yeah. And you know, nature likes to keep a balance, and we need to have that balance, this energy balance. But I can hear Ryan saying, you know, it's a fair energy exchange. You've got to, you've got to give and take. So, but you know what, Christine, I agree. I think you're not going to be without love for long. I think you're just smarter and wiser and, you know, so give a chance to those that might not catch your eye in the first time, but, you know, give it a chance if you meet someone that is not quite your type, but you know, you never know. And I think you deserve to be loved. I think you're a very beautiful soul. And whoever hooks up with you is going to be very, very lucky. And make sure they know that. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
that. You're so welcome.
Thank you all.
Happy Halloween. Yeah. Happy Hallows Eve. Happy whatever you celebrate. Have a beautiful, beautiful fall.
Yes. Happy Halloween to you all as well.
Thanks.
Thank you again.
Love and light, honey.
God bless you.
Bless you, too. Isn't that lovely? All righty. 330, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Leslie from Holly Springs, Mississippi.
Hi, Leslie. Oh, you have such a lovely energy. You're right there, girl. How can we help you today? Also, did you have any stories you'd like to share, Halloween-flavored stories?
I do not have a Halloween story, but I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I've been very happy about my life over the past 6.5 months. I started a new job here at a small college, and
mm-hmm.
I got my driver's license back in June. I'm going to be getting a new vehicle here in the next 6 months. But my one overarching question is my love life. I'm a guy that's looking for the right woman. Do you know when I'm going to start dating and have that long-term relationship?
Yeah. Okay. Did I call you a girl? I'm sorry, Leslie. I just thought you were
yes.
a female. I apologize. Yeah. Okay. I'm really sorry. I just going to turn this over to the team, but immediately I wrote down that you've come back on an uphill, almost vertical slope. Mm-hmm. Meaning that you've struggled your way back from something. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you're being congratulated on, like, and they're saying the climb has been almost vertical in its difficulty. So you should be very proud of yourself for having achieved that. Go ahead, team, and whatever's coming in, let's share what we've got here.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to go? I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
Anybody?
Okay, we can talk about the uphill climb some more if you want. In terms of a love relationship, Leslie, I'm also getting that you've taken your share of boots to the head, so to speak. I think you've had a few rough goes with people that you've had relationships with. So do you feel at all that you've got any kind of, I guess like a barrier, or if you put any kind of shields up against people hurting you again?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, and I completely understand where that would come from. But if you can... So I'm picturing Star Trek, you know, when they're being attacked by whoever's attacking them, you know, Klingons or whatever, they go shields mm-hmm. up, and it's to prevent damage from an alien enemy. And it feels like you might be blocking out the bad guys, but I think you may be blocking out a few good ones. And I'm also getting a strong sense of don't bypass the quiet people, the mm-hmm. ones that don't. You know, they don't wear their hearts on their sleeves so much as all their feelings are like on the inside kind of thing. So if you meet someone who's quiet and maybe not, you know, expressing great, you know, fireworks of love and all that for you, give them time and give them the benefit of the doubt because they may be also like a little shy about, you know, putting their heart out there again in case somebody stomps on it. So, shields up, yes, because you have to, but learn when you can put those shields down too, because I think you will find that you do have like-minded, you know, soulmate type people out there, but they're just not going to be screaming it or putting on billboards. So look a little bit deeper. And I think those people are out there for you. And I think love is totally there for you. You're an amazing person. And when I talked about your energy, I felt a very strong energy there with you. So, you know, don't worry. Nobody's going to be able to take you down. I think you've been through everything a person can be through. So, you know, don't be worried. Like, you're strong. You learned how to sail your ship, so you don't need to be afraid of any storms anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Tony, are you ready?
I agree 100%. Yeah, I'm ready now.
Perfect.
This is Tony.
Okay.
Leslie. The card that I got for you was the cherub. So basically is the little cherub shooting arrows of love your way. But like what Lynn was saying, that you're blocking those arrows. So you need to, you know, I'm not saying let down your guard 100%. I understand that, you know, things might have happened while you have your guard up, but you are blocking the cherubs from working. their magic with you. And I feel that there is somebody, like I can see somebody out there for you in the next couple of months. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball and I don't like to give a timeline because of free will, but it's there. It's just that you have to be okay with it. And I feel like what she said, you're blocking it in a way. And it's going to be, it's completely different than what you think it's going to be too. So you have to just let it flow. Yeah. It's not going to be the same. You know, sometimes, and I used to do the same thing. Sometimes we tend to go like what Sue was talking about types when she was telling Christine about types. I used to do that too. And you need to clear your mind so the cherubs can work. And it's going to be something completely different. And you're not going to be ready for it probably, but it'll work out.
Uh-huh.
So I do see it coming. You just have to let it flow a little more and put the guard down a little bit, or it won't happen. And that's what I got.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready if you're ready for me.
Yeah. We're ready for you.
So, hi, Leslie. You know, the one difficult thing about an uphill battle when we're doing self-improvement is that when you get to some place, you wait to get to the top and you go, well, once I achieve X, Y, and Z, then I'll be worthy. And I think that's a misnomer. I think it's not accurate because you're worthy at this moment in time. And so, you know, I can hear that you've probably been hurt before. And also, you know, you might be holding yourself too accountable for your past transgressions, you know, anything that you might have felt was a mistake in your past. And so what my team is telling me is that it's just as important for you to let go of the past for yourself, your own past, your own anything that you feel was a mistake, because if you carry that into you with you into a new relationship, that's just going to mar and color it. Whereas if you say every day is a new day, new slate, this is who I am now, you're setting and establishing what energy you're putting and offering into the universe. And then what happens is you're then able to attract that back to you. So, you know, as far as partners go, future love relationship and that sort of thing, don't bring the old stuff in to the new because it doesn't serve you. And they're saying, you know, we all, I don't know a human being on this earth who doesn't have some regrets about things, but the thing about regrets is it doesn't change anything. Now we start fresh. Every day is a fresh new day. Every moment is a fresh new moment. And so as you're moving forward, you know, remind yourself of, you know, what your motivations are in this life and what excites you. And, you know, keep focusing on those things, those energies, instead of what's already happened. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, let go of all the old. You're just, every moment of every day, you're brand new. So you get to decide what you do with it. And, again, once you focus on your intentions in life, you'll be able to allow other people of the same energy to come in and be with you.
Fabulous. Love
okay.
that.
Okay.
Marianne, are you, did you have a
Yeah, so it's so cool. My message is kind of the same as everybody else's. Basically, they're just saying not to stop. Continue to move in the same direction of your hopes and dreams and plans. They're saying that you're on your right path, and you should see progress as you stay the course. And so it's very important that you stand your ground and believe in yourself really strongly, and don't let others intimidate you into quitting and giving up. Follow your heart. I'm just saying, follow your heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I will.
That's a great heart, too.
Awesome.
You have amazing energy, Leslie. Like when I picked up, I'm sorry I called you female, but at the same time, the energy just blasted me. And, you know, we're miles apart, but, you know, I went, whoa. And that's like, I'm really impressed by the strong prana or the life force that you have. Like, you're just going to kick butt. You just manifest away and it's going to come to you. I think you're very powerful. Yeah. Does that not seem believable about yourself?
Yeah, I really believe it.
Yeah.
The woman I meet on the, I don't care if it's at a bar, at my mom's house where I'm going to Thanksgiving, or out on the, or somewhere in public, I have to be ready for it.
Yeah, and you've got something to lay down. You bring a lot to the party. You really do. So, yeah. It's a magic. It's just a matter of manifesting for you, I think. Just you put that out there into the universe, and you can't help but get it. Check out what Einstein said about manifesting. He said, this is not psychology. This is physics. You get to the frequency you want to be at, and you can't. I can't remember the exact quote, but you will manifest at the frequency that you are at, and I think you've brought yourself to a place where your energy is just amazing. So use that. Use your power and embrace it. It's yours. Beautiful.
Yes.
Do call us back, Leslie, and tell us how it goes, would you? We'd love to hear how your story unfolds.
I will.
Thank you. Okay,
well,
love and light, I hope that helped, and it was lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much. Happy Halloween.
And you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we're going to keep moving. 919, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi, my name is Sandra Kay, but I go by my middle name, Kay.
Hi, well, welcome, Kay. That's lovely.
Hi. Thank you.
Did you have any Halloween stories you'd like to share?
Growing up, you know, it was interesting what you guys were saying at the very beginning. I grew up in, you know, North Carolina, Bible Belt, so of course I was not permitted to celebrate Halloween. Yeah. So it wasn't until I got to be an adult that I learned to appreciate and understand, and now with my understanding, my spirituality, I can understand and relate. Like you, I don't watch too many of the gory things because I just don't want, I just don't like that around me. But I do have a different understanding and just thinking about what was installed in me based on tradition and learning to step out of tradition. So, but as far as spirits and energy, I have always, I'm an empath, so I've always felt something around me. I don't consider my mother a ghost or anything, but I do remember when I was a little girl, I was very sick, and I remember her, I was obviously having chills, so I was just shaking and freezing. I was in the bed. My great-grandmother raised me because my mother passed when I was a year old, but I remember feeling my mother's or some energy coming up over me like a blanket to just kind of comfort me. And it was so, even as sick as I was, and I remember talking about it the next day to my grandmother, and she was like, no, baby, nobody put a cover on you. I'm like, yes, they did. I remember that. So that has always stuck with me.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. I love
Very
how you
cool.
describe that.
Yeah. Well, and also to remember that they're always watching us, you know, even though they're not in their body anymore, they're there watching over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, definitely. I do have a question. I don't want to hold a call line up because I know it's probably all
the
callers have.
It's fine. We're
no,
good.
You're fine.
Go ahead. Yep.
Okay, great. So things are finally starting to come together. When I tell you, this past year has been an up and down roller coaster of emotions, from relationship to finances to job, and just so many things. Well, things are just working itself out. I start a new career opportunity tomorrow, and it is absolutely amazing. I haven't really said a lot about it to too many people, but I am excited, and I'm ready for this. My question is regarding relationship. I've met this young lady, and we've been chatting now for some time, and it feels good. But I'm just trying to, I don't want to say it in a bad way, but I want to make sure that it's worth the energy and the time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it is, but I just want to see what you pick up on that.
Beautiful. Well, I can go ahead if everyone's cool. Okay. So Kay, what I wrote down, this is Lynn. What I wrote down first is baptism of fire. And that's referring to what you've been through, right? It's also a very good song by Carol, can't think of her name. Anyway, it's a very good song, but it's also an expression of somebody having gone through, you know, a heavy-duty trial period. So you've kind of brought yourself round to this new plateau, and all the things you've been through are starting to come back. It's like you manifested where you need to be. Nothing is wasted. Okay, nothing is wasted. That I can barely read my own scribble here, but nothing is wasted is the message that comes to you. It doesn't, I'm not, as Tony often says, I haven't got the crystal ball to tell you whether this is the relationship that's going to work for you, but it's important. Okay. The energy of it is important. Whether it goes into something long term, it feels like yes, pursue, because it's not, as it, you know, the message very simply says, it's not a waste of time. Nothing is wasted. And if you look at nature, turn to nature and look at, nothing is wasted in nature. Everything turns into something else. And if you think about, you know, energy cannot be destroyed or created or destroyed. Mm-hmm. It just is. And all it does is transform. So you're still kind of in a baptism of fire, but I feel like the energy, you're more like sitting around a bonfire where you can enjoy the heat, roast a marshmallow or two, but it's not going to burn you anymore. You know, it's a pleasant experience now. Because you're used to it. I think you've become used to that fire. I would also, when you get a chance, look up the element of fire and what that symbolizes, because I think that's very strong with you. I think you've got a very strong energy of fire in you. We all have all the elements, but some are stronger at different times of our lives. And I think fire, you've got a beautiful fire going. And it's lovely. It's lovely because you're using, the fire isn't consuming you. You are making use of the fire and it serves you now. So lovely. So Tony, did you want to, did you want to go ahead? Oh, you're very welcome.
Sure. So, your name, Kay, is that what you want to be called?
Yes.
Was it Kay?
Yes.
Hi, Kay, it's Tony. So the card that I picked for you is an archangel which communicates with different species or pets. And so are you, do you have pets or did you just rescue a pet or are you thinking about rescuing a pet or you know somebody that is?
I love dogs. A quick story of that. I had a dog and that relationship that ended, something happened where I was not able to keep the dog that I wanted, that I had, and I ended up having to give my dog away. But it was the family I gave it to. I don't regret it because the baby was autistic and they needed a pet. So I haven't forgiven myself for giving away my dog. So I have that little bit of, I want a dog, but I don't feel like I don't say deserve one, but, you know, it's just, that's still painful. So that might be what you're picking up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the dog is fine. So that's what you're saying, that, you know, you need to forgive yourself for the domestic animal that you had to give away because the pet's fine. Just like your intuition that you gave it to these people that had an autistic child, they're actually fitting in very well with the family. So in order, and what it's coming down to is in order for you to move on, and I don't know if it's the right relationship either, like Lynn said, but I do see a yes for that. But you need to forgive yourself for things that happened in the last one, and I believe it's got to do with the, so that's like the last thing that you still are hanging on to.
Yes, it is. It really is. Okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to. They're fine. Everything's okay. You have a yellow light. So you're, the pet, you know, I'm not saying that the pet wouldn't even remember you if they saw you, because it probably would.
I was going to add that. Yeah.
Yeah, it might not. I mean, it's where it's supposed to be. So
part of me don't want her to remember me. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want her to remember that part. Yeah.
Well, she's always going to remember you because you saved her. I think at one point you saved her, but she also saved you. And then she wants you to know that she's fine because she is also saving this person with autism. Like, that's their life now, surrounds that pet.
Yeah, thank you.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll help you move on. But you're going to have such a great time at your new job also. So you just have to let, you know, put the in yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
If you're ready for me. Yep. Hi, Kay.
Hi,
Kay.
How you doing?
Good. Yourself. Good. I feel like you're calm, actually, so that's good. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what my team's saying, and what they're saying is something that my dad came in to tell me a couple of days ago through a friend of mine, which is, and I talk to my dad every day. He's passed on in 2019, but we talk all the time, so it's not a problem, but sometimes he thinks I don't hear him, so my friend comes in. She's like, oh, your dad stopped by. Anyway, about you. The thing that he told me and what my team is saying to repeat to you is this energy with the new person. Does she work a lot?
Yes.
Seems like she's busy a lot, okay? And what they're saying to me is, I feel stressed there.
Yes.
And she works a job too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So she's busy a lot. And so what they're saying is be like, you're kind of treating the relationship, you know, or the possible relationship as like a cork underwater, right? Release the cork, let it float to the top and see where it goes. Have fun is what they're saying, right? You know, because the minute we try to pigeonhole a relationship into being something, you know, defining it, that's when we stop having fun. And what they're saying is, you know, whether she's here for a day or a week or 5 months or 10 years or a lifetime, that's not the focus. They want you to just enjoy the time that you do have together. Because truly, anytime we share energy with another soul, that's never lost. Okay, so whether, you know, in our human minds, we say relationship, or we say commitment, or we say boyfriend, girlfriend, you get the point. Mm-hmm. We try to define it. And it's like Lynn Bleasdale always says, you know, if you try to grab a handful of sand, a lot of times it'll go right through your fingers. So, you know, try not to define it. Just allow yourself to enjoy the time that you have and see what happens.
Okay. That's what my desire is. She's, the quick of it is, I'm in Georgia. She's in California. So it is definitely long distance right now, and but she's planning on retiring here, so that would be a while anyway. So there's nothing to rush. I just want to make sure with everything going so well now, and I've been manifesting and praying and trusting. You're right, it's not waste time, but I want to put energy where energy is healthy.
Yeah, and just, you know, I mean, everything you just said, your heart's wide open. Keep going with that, because the more, and see, not only will it affect your relationship and allow you to enjoy it, but it will affect other areas of your life. So, you know,
yes.
keep moving
okay.
forward with that open heart, okay?
Okay, thank you both, all of you. Thank you all so much.
Okay, we still have Marianne to see
oh,
what Marianne
pulled
up.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize. Okay, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's what, Marianne's so quiet. She's the guy in the back, but she's very, very,
yeah.
got lovely, lovely energy, so.
mine's short but sweet. So what I got for you, Kay, is in the near future, so they're just saying that what you're asking for is going to occur very soon. And you won't have to wait much longer.
Yeah.
So stay optimistic and continue upon your current path. Be open to receiving.
Okay.
That's a big thing. Be very open to receiving.
That I am trying. I'm definitely willing to
go.
So thank you. Thank you
yeah.
all so much. I appreciate you.
Wonderful.
Bless
oh,
you
wow.
Too long.
Yeah,
good,
go for it, Kay.
You.
I think you're going to be very happy with your future. I
mm-hmm.
think you're manifesting like a very powerful spiritual warrior. So yeah, keep on
thank
going.
You,
let us know
you.
How it goes, would you? I love hearing results of people's efforts.
I will.
So, thank you. Honey.
I will.
That's
thank
wonderful.
You.
Happy Halloween to you.
No. You as well.
Alrighty. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and we have a question in the chat room. Now, I don't know if Bo, too, is still listening, and I hope they are, but Healer Medium has just asked on their behalf if we can also answer. So I'm going to read the question. Will my son be open to me sending him 2 books on alcoholism and also the interview on TV last night by Dan Sawyer of... Oh, the actor on Friends. That's Matthew Perry.
Yeah,
no, that's
Matthew
great.
Perry.
Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was actually, Healer Medium. Sorry, I'm trying to talk to a person in the chat room. Yes, thank you. Yeah. We want to answer. I was going to get to this person. Matthew Perry, I think he just wrote a book about that or did an interview, right? I know my son is shut down, maybe even playing everyone, but I just want to know if his reaction will be explosive or will he be able to accept this media and look at it someday? Should I just send the video of Matt Perry or send nothing at all? So I think we've got someone who's dealing with an addiction that's got a loved one. And so we just want to know, should she send these books? And I know we get afraid of the reactions because addiction is a very corrosive thing and it takes away the person that we love. So you must understand your son isn't the person that you love right now. He is caught by the addiction and so love hurts at this point in time. I'm just going to say what comes on immediately is to say I think I would delay it. But don't not send them. But I think give it a bit of time and try, I think, work on your fear responses because it's very natural when someone, and I know what you mean about them playing everybody, it's the addiction that is speaking, not the person. When they, they promise, this is the last time it's going to happen or whatever. We cannot save these people. We can help them. We cannot be personally responsible for saving them. And I think at this point, my personal energy is saying that he will not see what you're offering right now. I think, yes, it might make them angry. If you can hear us, Bo, too, I would like to suggest a group on Facebook called the Intermittent Explosive Disorder Group, and that helps people with that problem in their lives where their loved ones are turning into kind of monsters. I hate to say it that way, but they become an unknowable person, like, the addiction takes over and it does corrode who that person was. The good news is that it doesn't have to be the end. I mean, help is available if you can find it, but don't feel you have to do the rescuing or you're going to break your heart. Okay, Tony, do you want to take this one? We'll pass it around the circle.
I feel exactly the same way you do. I feel that I would delay the resending anything right at this point. It's just going to hurt her or whoever that is in the chat. But I feel it's not a lost cause. But I feel that that person should get some help to be able to deal with it, with the heartbreak that it's causing her right now.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a while down the road. So, I mean, the thing about that was on last night, I did watch it with Matthew Perry. He had some really good things to say. I'm not sure that Matthew Perry is healed, is on the right, still on the right track either, unfortunately. But he did say something that resonated with me when she asked him, and this is a good question that maybe she can ask her son, she said to Matthew, is there something that you would answer? How did she put it? I know what he said. He said, if I ever say that I am cured, then you know that I'm doing drugs or drinking again. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was powerful. And that's the last thing. And I think it ended with that. So I do think the video, I think he could probably relate to Matthew Perry. So maybe even if you do send it and he doesn't watch it all of a sudden, that he might down the road, because, you know, being the age of him, maybe they're the same age or whatever, but he's not ready for it. I agree with you, Lynn, 100%.
Yeah. But you know, the book on alcoholism might be useful to Bo too.
Yeah.
To the person that wants to help, because educating ourselves is really, really important. And I speak from experience here. I understand the helplessness of trying to deal with someone who is, they're in the throes of addiction, and the addiction has them right now. Sue,
book? Is that the book you're talking about? Bill's book?
Yeah, I think Pat Bo too is a woman, but you know, I've already batted zero tonight. So it's a book on alcoholism. Oh, two books on alcoholism. So I'm not sure which books they're referring to, but you know, anything that you're getting a little bit of education about the condition. And you can, you know.
Yeah,
I think that it's just not right now. They're just not going to be able to pay attention. But I think, you know, down the road, I think observing the person, and if you can maybe, I don't know if there's a group for the partners and the children and the families of alcoholics or
Al-Anon.
Al-Anon.
It
may not be everyone's cup of tea, but if it helps, you know, I definitely join that. Community is a huge thing for, you know, getting the strength, because it makes you weak. It really makes you weak dealing with this sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think Pat needs to get help.
And again, it's a name I can't, it could be a woman's name or a man's name. I don't know if, you know, we're being messed with here by the universe, but I don't know if Pat, I assume Pat's a woman, but we must never assume. Anyway, Sue, what are you coming up with here?
I hate to be a joiner, but I'm with you guys. As soon as you read the question, I went and I heard no in my head. And the reason behind that is because when someone is very, very resistant to seeing their own issues, the minute somebody from outside tries to tell them about their issues, they're going to get mad at that person. I agree with Tony 100%. This Pat needs to take care of himself or herself because, and I, like Lynn, I have experience with this, and it's just, it drains your battery all the way gone. done, dead, and then you need a freaking life support set up.
True.
Because you give, and you try all these different angles of saying things differently, and you think it's yourself. There's some way that, you know, you're not presenting the message properly, or maybe they don't feel like I've loved them enough. That's not the issue. Whatever this person is going through, I also agree that it's not going to be forever. I don't feel like it's a lifetime, and I don't feel like it's a life ending, but this person who has the alcoholism is going to have a couple more come to Jesus moments where they have to lose something that means something to them before they're willing and ready. It almost, I'm getting this on your knees in a visual where this person has to get on their knees and go, okay, I give up, you know, I'm going to deal with my issues. And there's nothing Pat can do about that, unfortunately. And that person just has to go through it and get on the knees. And what I mean by on the knees is not subjugated. What I mean is finally get to the point where they say, all right, enough already. I get it. I have to stop doing what I'm doing because it's not working. And, you know, that's a universal principle, unfortunately. If we, but if we're given the message over and over again by life and we don't get the message, the lesson gets harder and we get stronger messages. And sometimes you have to just really get knocked down on your backside before you get the message. But I think that's what this person is going to have to do, is get knocked down a little bit more. And before surrender happens. And Pat really needs to take care of himself or herself for sure. Start finding things in life.
Yeah,
and just send your child love. That's all you can do, is in your mind and in your prayers or whatever form of energetic connection that you make, just keep imagining that person getting to a point where they're healthy again. You know, just keep that visual in your mind, because that's helpful. The energy of it is helpful.
Yeah. Pat is a woman. It's been confirmed by our friend in the chat room, Healer Medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's our friend Pat, actually.
Oh, Pat, the wonderful artist?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Possibly.
Yes, Pat has a lot of magic available to her, if it's Pat.
I mean, I could be one, but I feel that that's who it is. I don't know.
Yep. Well, you're usually bang on about stuff, Tony. So, yeah, that Pat. We just got the message, that Pat. Yeah, no, Tony,
okay.
I, you know, trust those incoming. Marianne, did you want to add to our circle here?
Yes. So what I got for Pat was, it's going to take a while. So what came up for me was a year from now. So, because the event that Pat's asking about will occur within this year or soon after, but during this time, you're encouraged to stay optimistic and continue with self-care activities, like everybody else says, and other preparations for your desire. But you have to remember that this other person's free will and choices are always involved. And
right.
So they also want you to know that the angels are working hard behind the scenes on your behalf. And even if you can't immediately see the evidence, they hear your prayers and are trying to help answer them. But the thing that keeps coming to mind is this thing that Lynn has shared with me. It's called the Ho'oponopono prayer, to say, and it sends love to that person, and it'll heal. I mean, the story is amazing that Lynn shared with me a few times now, where he healed. Yeah, he healed all those people.
Lou Hem?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah.
I've got
something.
It backwards.
Yeah.
yes, a doctor. He's a Hawaiian. Yes, absolutely, Marianne. We should post a bit about him. Hugh Len, that's his name. Sorry, my brain.
Hugh Len, that's it. Yes.
Hugh Len.
Yes.
Yeah, we grasp that. It eventually comes. Yeah. Yes. and Healer Medium points out that a lot of people are choosing exit points right now. Yes. And that is very true. I wanted to quote something that the herbalist Michael Tierra points out, and he talks about why does illness occur. An illness can include like the addiction conditions,
mm-hmm.
And it is to give death an excuse to happen. So it's almost like, you know, when people talk about near-death experiences where they get a choice. Do you want to come along or do you want to go back? Your decision.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so yeah. There may be... Mm-hmm. Taking him to an exit point.
That's where I don't sense that this person is going to exit, but I think that it's going to get a couple more knocks on the head before
it
comes around. You know what I mean? I'm with Tony. I think Anne Marion. I think he's going to come through it. It's a he, isn't it?
Yes, it's her son.
Yeah,
Oh, her son. Okay. Okay, how do I say this succinctly? Make sure that, tell Pat that she's got to keep imagining the best for him, because sometimes we have to hold the light for somebody while they're going through this difficulty. So in other words, if she starts going through scenarios where she's imagining the worst, don't do that, okay? Because you don't want that. He'll feel that energy. Imagine the best, okay?
Yeah.
And that isn't putting our head in the sand and, you know, pretend playing Pollyanna. What that does is he will be able to feel that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a direct contact through phone, email, whatever. But what it is it's an energetic contact. And you don't want to lose hope on him. But on the other hand, he does have to go through some things before he sees the light, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think that's why Pat needs to make sure she's getting help, because it's going to be a rocky road, I feel.
Yeah.
Even if it is a year or so, I think she's going to be heartbroken, because she tends to be with her son now, and he's going to take her on a more of an emotional ride. And I feel that, you know, with Pat's illnesses and how she can get down, she needs to maybe do Al-Anon for sure, or get on that Facebook page, or whatever healing she's doing. She needs to get a ton of it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Healer Medium
chat.
It's
so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to watch somebody you care about. It's so hard to watch somebody you care about go through difficult times. Mm-hmm. But when it's your own child, it's like somebody's taking your heart and ripping it right out of your chest. And I speak from experience. And so, you know, I agree with you, Tony. Whatever Pat can do to, and it's not a stay in your own lane, because it can't be, because you're talking about a mother-child situation. However, if Pat can focus more on what she wants to see in her life personally, and I don't care if it's for 10 minutes, any little thing she can do to bring joy in her life. Does she paint? Does she listen to books on tape? Does she watch TV shows? That sort of thing. Whatever it is that brings her that little bit of joy, squeezing her animals, you know, not squeezing them, but, you know, petting them, feeding the birds. You get what I'm saying. If she can shift some of that focus, that'll help also.
Mm-hmm. Pat is a brilliant artist.
She needs to get into her art, because, you know, it's just like Marianne was saying, free will. You don't know what they're going to do. You know what I mean? You're not that person. So she needs to, you know, because like what you said, I mean, I don't want to come right out and say that he might never get it, but it could be. He might never get it. You know what I mean? So... like you said, something is going to happen to him where he's either going to get it or he's not going to get it. And at that point, hopefully he's going to turn around. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Something that Healer Medium has pointed out is that, I guess it's the insurance stats are saying that deaths are up between 25 and 50-year-olds right now. And...
Yeah.
I can see there is despair, absolute despair out there. Yeah. But the thing is, love. There's love and fear, right? It's sort of a binary code for our journey. And love is stronger than fear. And when we cannot let fear make us weak, it's not that you're weak for having the fear. Like, we're all experiencing it. You observe your feelings and you just go, yeah, this is terrifying, because it is.
Right.
But you don't let the fear make you weak. I did write a few more things down. I just want to share about, okay, so what you're describing about sort of an epiphany for the sun, he will hit a wall. He will hit a wall again. And it's like life or death. Do I want to go on like this? Because, you know, and I think he's going to have that wake up call. I like how Sue goes, come to Jesus moment. But, it's a wake up call. And I also wanted to say for Pat, to not be afraid if you're angry. A lot of people, anger is depression tends to be anger turned inward, unexpressed, and it turns into depression. And depression can engender all kinds of physical conditions. And this is not to say that people get sick, it's your own fault. I hate when people do that. You know, you caused your own whatever. No. But depression can make it easier for your immune system to fail. I wrote down, come to Jesus. That's funny. So forgive yourself. And don't be afraid if you're angry. If you're angry, acknowledge it and know that you've come by it honestly. And it doesn't mean you can be angry with someone and you can love them so much.
Yeah.
It's the fear that's making you angry, and the fear is completely understandable. But groups like that group I mentioned, the Intermittent Explosive Disorder group, I turned to them because I couldn't take the attacks. Like, I couldn't figure out why this person I loved so much was attacking. And I'm talking about physically, like coming after us with baseball bats and stuff like that. And you talk about a horror movie, you know, there's no horror movie made that can equate with that feeling. But as you guys said, you know, the parent-child bond can make you insane when things like that happen. You just doubt your sanity all the time. But one thing about Pat is I hope she knows that we are here for her. And she just needs to connect with us, use Facebook and whatnot, but the Enter the Light page, like, we're always going to... Oh, Healer Medium would like to ask a question, too. So, yeah, Pat, if you're hearing this, don't ever feel you're not without a support group. We love you. Mm-hmm. We feel like you're part of our family now. So, let's see. We've got a question from Healer Medium here in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
I thought my boyfriend was going to propose last week on vacation, but he didn't. And...
Mm.
Oh, I just had an image from the series The Office. Anybody remember that show?
The Office, I love The Office.
Yeah, I'm getting when Jim and Pam, he was going to propose to her.
Yeah.
There was a perfect setting. They had fireworks and it was all, you know, and then some other guy steps up and proposes to his girlfriend and steals their thunder. But I'm just getting, me too. Healer Medium says, I love The Office. I'm getting that you don't need to worry about this. I don't think it's anything. Yeah, right. You're getting that too. Don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's the
Office scenario, definitely. Or he thought that she knew already, and that's why he didn't do it, I think. Yeah, I wouldn't worry.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's not a good relationship. And
it's a great I think he's going to propose. I just think maybe he got wind that she knew he was going to propose, so he didn't, but I feel it's going to happen.
And you know, we're not in the dark ages anymore. You can propose to him, you know, if you feel it's time and whatnot. Sue and Marianne, did you have anything to throw at this? Hello.
Did we lose anyone?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know where Sue is.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to Marianne. My bad. As far as the proposal, I think you're onto something with that. He knew that she knew, and so he decided to try a different tack. Guys like their surprises. Funny story about that. I apparently opened the glove box and looked right at my engagement ring in the box. And, it, like, the box was sitting in there, and I didn't even see it. And,
oh, that's
funny. You know, because Brent wanted to go up on the hill. We used to go walking at night on this golf course right next to where we lived, our apartment, and he wanted to go on one of our romantic walks to propose. And but he had the ring in the glove box, and I opened the glove box, and I rifled through for something and found what I wanted and shut it back again and didn't even see the box with the ring in it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he said he's like, boy, I couldn't believe that you didn't see that. You noticed everything. And I said, well, maybe the angels were concealing it for you because they knew what your plan was. But No, I don't get any strong feelings that there was anything about that other than he really wants to surprise her.
Yeah. Yeah, making it a special sort of thing.
Right.
Marianne, did you have something you wanted to bring to the table here?
Yeah. Well, the card I pulled was romance, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So it just said, have faith that love is coming into your life to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Oh,
there
I love
go.
That. What deck are you
awesome.
Using, Marianne?
Yeah. Angel Answers.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And if you remember, Jim finally did propose outside of a convenience store in a pouring rainstorm. And it was a complete surprise. And it was the most romantic thing ever. It was beautiful.
Awesome.
Oh, I'm glad you guys all like The Office. I found it just a sweet...
Yeah, that's a good deal.
And I wanted to also add that the singer I was trying to remember who sang Baptism of Fire is Carol Pope with Rough Trade. I just couldn't remember the names, but she's quite a force of nature, that woman. Amazing.
Wow.
So, I think we're just about at the end of our show. Yeah. I hope that helped everything. I really appreciate Healer Medium in the chat room taking part. Carol Pope, her icon is just beautiful. Like, it's a lovely piece of High School Confidential. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, her icon is just gorgeous. It's a beautiful piece of artwork, very, very dynamic and compelling. So, yeah, love that chat room. I think next week we'll put out some tequila and donuts for everyone.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sounds great.
Yeah, we joke about that in the green room here. But,
yes.
Okay. I saw an apartment in Toronto after she had looked at renting it. Oh, cool. Yeah.
That's
funny.
Cool.
You have the energy going with Carol Pope. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Awesome.
Okay, let's go around and let's start with you, Tony. How can people find you if they want to connect?
Yeah, so I'm still working on my Facebook page. So the best way to connect to me right now is on Facebook at Tony Jorgensen. It's me and my grandson throwing a kiss, and I believe there's a picture of Core and I in the background, or on Twitter, or on what's the other one? Instagram, same handle. So you can get in touch with me that way.
Fabulous. And so, Sue, I wanted to also mention Sue's book.
Yeah.
And Christ, okay,
I'll tell
here
you
we
what
go.
It is.
The Christ Consciousness, A Somewhat Agnostic Point of View. I've read it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And it's a wonderful book where it doesn't, it lets you be whoever you are with whatever your belief system is, and it works. It works for everybody. I love it. And it's available with Amazon. And a few other books too. And I guess you've got another one in the oven cupping. Yeah,
don't tell all my secrets.
Oh, okay.
No, that's okay. I'm just kidding. I do have book two coming, but I'm still divining a couple more chapters. Not quite ready to get going on that, but it is outlined. I'm getting feedback from the first book, and I'm trying to find what would be helpful, like what do people want expanded on, and, you know, that sort of thing. So I am getting, I'm receiving feedback from my friends and colleagues, and I'm kind of allowing that to seep in before I start writing again. But thank you for that plug. I'm so glad that it's received that way, and because it really is truly for everyone, you know, humans on this earth. It isn't just for people that are, you know, religious. But anyway, so you can find me on www.quantumexplorations.com.
Yeah. And Sue is a QHHT practitioner. So that's if that's something that you think might be useful, totally get in touch, because I think you'll find it worth it. Okay. And I know Marianne, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt there. And I know Marianne, you haven't got your website together yet, but we're going to work on that. So how can people find you until such time?
Oh, just Marianne Adams on Facebook. That's all.
Okay. And Elizabeth D'Onofrio is in our chat room, and she's one of our team. And you can find her at www.elizabethdonofrio.com. And you can also turn to Elizabeth for voiceover lessons, acting coach. She's got a lot of different irons in the fire, and right now she's pursuing a career as an actress full time, which is really exciting. It's nice when creative people get to quit their day job, you know, and just put their heart into what they do. It's a wonderful thing. And I was going to say to Healer Medium, if you are a medium, please get in touch with us if you'd like to do a guest spot on our show. Mm-hmm. I like your energy a lot, and we'd you know, love to have you on. So let us know. What a show, you guys. I was feeling a little bit sort of autumn, almost like going into hibernation, and now I'm like completely energized by your collective energy, and thank you very much. I love it.
Yeah, same here. Thank you for having me today. It was joyful, and I love hearing other people's take on Tim Hain. Am I saying it right?
Yeah. Samhain. It's spelled Samhain. Samhain. Yeah, it's crazy. It's spelled Samhain, I think, and it's pronounced Samhain. But either way, Samhain. It's a rockin' good time, and you just make your altars with pumpkins and apples and haystacks, and we'll all just go back to the druids. I kind of love nature worshiping, because without nature, we have no life support system. And I think, you know, you talk about God, you talk about nature, but I think it's all the same kind of thing, you know, that divine intelligence that keeps everything in spin. I hate to say it, but, you know, if humans disappeared off the earth, nature would carry on, you know.
For sure.
We're not that important, and you know, but we are.
We're not even as good as the roaches, man. If a nuclear bomb hit, they would survive. I don't think humans would. But
yeah, we've got hope for us yet, though. We're getting there.
We're just saying, you know, Shakespeare's line: "What a piece of work is man! How noble in reason!" You know, and. Like, we all have the capacity to be ourselves. I think it's almost like we've been put into a class with a whole range of personalities. And I forget which one of you guys said it, but, you know, we're like in with the bullies and it's Sue said that, you know, we choose where we want to focus our energy. And it's very, very true. You know, there's going to be wing nuts out there. They're going to try and get you. So it's all right. Keep the boundaries up and work with energy, because it really is magic. You know, we can manifest what we want. And and we can manifest healing too for ourselves and others. So yeah, just keep on being. I can't think what I'm trying to say. Keep on keeping on. Stay on the surfboard and know that you are loved, I think, right?
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, kids.
Yeah, thank you.
I love you all so much. Did anyone have any last bits of what whimsy to throw at the party?
No, I'm just okay. Not that good, but thanks, Lynn, and it was great pleasure to working with you, Marianne, and Tony. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You know what?
Yeah,
I think you're all brilliant. You know, and give yourself some credit for being fabulous.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Well, thanks. I hope you all have a beautiful day.
Beautiful,
yes,
beautiful. Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Beautiful.
Happy Samhain. Happy All Hallows.
Oh,
and you know,
wait a minute. What kind of jeans? What kind of jeans do ghosts wear?
What?
Boo jeans.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's fabulous.
I know.
Oh, we should have done a whole
so
bunch
lame.
Of bad jokes. That's good. I love it. Okay. Well, speaking of fabulous and speaking of brilliant, here comes Louis to sing us off.
Yep.
Love and light, you guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Okay.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.